Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Studio G and the discussions for women in leadership. We will continue our focus this week on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. Here in the studio with us this week, we have Lori Beth Jones, speaker, author of 14 books, and the book leading our discussion today, Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you.
Representing the business pillar is Vicky Arteaga. Welcome, Vicky.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And Elisa Holston, representing the education pillar, has just flown in from her principal broom. Welcome, Elisa.
Nice. Yeah. I'm feeling really welcome with that one.
So this week we move into this show on what it means to be an Omega leader around the concept of letting go. So it should be a lively discussion since all of us are fires and we just say let go and move on. So, Lori Beth, I'm sure you can teach us a lot about this topic tonight and the listeners that will be transformed by your thoughts and wisdom around this concept. So frame for us, Lori, the definition of an Omega leader. We want to hear that.
An Omega leader is someone who keeps God at the center, always remembers that God is their boss, and is able to use the alpha authoritative style of leadership as well as the beta cooperative style of leadership and kind of combines and transcends both of those as needed under the direction of God.
I need you to repeat that again because I need to tweet it. Just kidding. Go on.
Well, that was the definition.
I know.
Shelley, with her ubiquitous notebook, is taking notes.
You don't know shorthand? So as we're talking about this concept of letting it go, it seems very contradictory in a sense. You know, I know so much of your writing and your work is missional. You know, you have your mission statement and you have your purpose and you have your goal and your objective and you step forward at all costs. In fact, there's a chapter we did a show on with or without someone else, you know, just purging forward. So help us reconcile that idea of letting it go is in the context of being missional.
Well, the story that I use in Jesus CEO is of a movie, Indiana Jones and his father. I think Sean Connery was playing it in that particular movie, and they were in pursuit of some holy grail or some object that they really, really wanted. And, you know, they went through all sorts of trials and tribulations to get to the point where Indiana was reaching for this, we'll call it the holy grail, and he was within inches of it, and his father looked at the pit and he realized that if Indiana actually grabbed it, he would lose his balance and fall into the pit. And he says to Indiana, let it go. And you can see the anguish on Indiana's face, who is obviously very driven towards mm-hmm. getting this object. And it's like, no, I can't. I've come this far. And so he strains further a little bit more, and his father leans in and he says, let it go. And Indiana drops it into the pit. And the audience that I was with just gasped because that was not the ending they expected. You know, they truly expected him to get it, and then the music score would rise, but it was a profound moment in the film because you realized that the whole purpose of that was their friendship, their bond as father and son, and it was just the journey, and this was not truly the object of the goal. The object of the journey, the true object of the journey was to bond and to get closer, because he'd had a difficult relationship with his father. So in answer to your question, when it comes to letting go, I think there's two keys to know when to let it go. One is any time that we're focusing on what we think is the object of our desire, like a promotion or a person or something that is tangible, real, that we could grab and hold and say, mine.
Okay.
And the other thing is when there's ego involvement, that there's a perceived sense of failure if we don't do it, that people, what will people think of us? So those are two things, because really as we look at Scripture, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be given to you. And he never said anything about go get this. You know, go get this. It was always become, forgive, turn the other cheek. It was all about being, a state of being, rather than a state of attaining. So whenever we say let it go, I think the key definition there is what is it?
Right. And I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, it's not your mission. You don't let your mission go because basically your mission has you.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is maybe you, and I write about this in my upcoming book, Jesus Career Counselor, that many times what we're pursuing is the story we have about ourselves. Either we're a victim, or we're the prodigal son, or we're the heroic, mythic figure returning home with the prize. So we're living out these stories, and when something happens that changes the story, then some people can't handle that.
Okay.
That's when you see suicides of, you know, Wall Street titans throwing themselves off cliffs or you know, stepping in front of trains or whatever. They could not, when they lost all their money, their story about themselves could not reconcile with the new circumstance, and so they would rather die. So that's someone that bought into their story and could not accept a script change.
Mm-hmm.
So many times the thing that we have to let go of is the story we had about ourselves.
Right.
Because God has another story for us in mind that transcends anything else we could have imagined. And I think that is the hardest thing to let go of.
Now, those expectations, I'm reminded of it sounds like what I was going to say before I interrupted you was that you actually went on to kind of elaborate on what I was going to kind of comment on is that, you know, in your work with mission statements, they're abstract concepts and they transcend context.
Right.
You know,
right.
They go beyond a professional context, beyond a marital context, beyond a life season context that are more broad sweeping. And so what you're saying is we're not letting go of our mission in that broad abstract concept. Maybe what we're letting go of some things that pop up along that path that we view as defining our story or perhaps some expectations that
right.
we may have of what that journey looks like, but we're not giving up the end of the journey.
The journey itself.
Right.
Which is always about being,
mm-hmm.
not really attaining. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a hard thing for people to get a hold of, as my sister would say, jokingly, because we are so driven in our culture to attain. You know, I love that commercial that said, I think it was an Allstate commercial that said, we have learned recently that a car is not a measure of how far you've come. A car is a thing to take you somewhere.
Right.
So it's a nuance, but mm-hmm. when we begin to measure our success
mm-hmm.
by trophies or promotions or relationships or mm-hmm. whatever, then we can get lost. So it was just profound for me with Indiana Jones when his father told him, let it go, because part of what he was doing was trying to please his father and prove himself to his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he had done that mm-hmm. along the way.
So in the case of Christ, saying it is finished, letting it go, what is symbolic about that?
I just love that whole imagery because, you know, if Jesus didn't trust us, why did he leave?
Mm-hmm.
Because he invested a lot in us. And then he left. And some people said he left because he knew it was going to get tougher. Jokingly, you know, trying to run a business or whatever. But it was that total profound sense that I did everything I came here to do. I said everything you sent me to say. Into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. My phase here, my work here, is done. And it was a profound self-prophecy. It was a sense of completion. It was a bookend. It was an invitation to us now to take up the work. And yet at the same time, he let it go. It was, you know, there were still dead people to be raised, sick people to be healed, injustice to be addressed. You know, if you looked at his results at that moment, as my mother says, nobody would have bought stock in his company.
Yeah.
You know, he was, by all practical purposes, he was an abject failure
right.
at that moment. And yet, he had this sense of completion. And that's what's so beautiful about the mission process, is once you get clear about what it is you came here to do, and if you are doing it in that moment, the building could collapse on you, someone could grab you and kill you, whatever it is, you can say, it is finished. I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about the results. It's about, are you doing in this moment what you came here to do?
And speaking of Jesus and He had a team. He had a team that was very confused that the story, the script didn't match what their expectation that that script would be. He was not who he thought that he would be. He didn't take on the role of the king, you know, the warrior king, the political savior.
Right.
And then bailing, you know, after three short years, had to leave them scratching their heads. So as a leader, you know, what insight do you have for a leader that's needing to let go, you know, and how do they walk their team through that process so that their team doesn't feel abandoned, forsaken, or betrayed,
mm-hmm.
but understands the relevance and the meaning of letting it go?
Well, I think that one of the things is to be constantly teaching by example. I say it in one of these books, he showed them what a good day was like.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good day when you notice a baby bird that has fallen to the ground. This is a good day when you take a drink of water to someone who is thirsty. This is a good day. So he was showing them what his value system was and how to abide in that. And he was preparing them all along. He, you know, he didn't just exit stage left. He said, I'm not going to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to have to leave. Things are going to be tough. And yet, I will never leave you. And so I think if you have poured yourself into your team with great love and affection and intention, then you have to trust that they will carry on. And he did.
I heard the story of monkeys in the jungle in Africa. And the way that they captured them was to have a jar, and inside the jar with a small...
She said jar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now with a small
opening,
and then inside an apple or something that is a little bit bigger than, well, not bigger than the opening, but big enough that when the monkey put the hand on, he found something and he's like, oh, and he tries to pull it out, he couldn't.
Right.
And it was puzzled, and, you know, it was so frustrated that to try to get the apple or whatever it was, the fruit, that at that time, the monkey did not pay attention on the surroundings, and it could be easily trapped, which if that monkey just let go of the apple, the hand could come out of that jar, and he could run or do something, but because it was the jar, he freaked out.
Yeah.
And in business, how many times we don't let go of the product?
Right.
Maybe it's the wrong product.
Very good.
The service that we're providing. Maybe the service it was relevant 10 years ago. It's not relevant today.
That's right.
But we still like try to push it or something. Or the strategy. Maybe that strategy is not the best one. But we still have our hand in the jar.
That's right. Very good point. Very good point. You know, it's the businesses that adapt that will succeed. And the ones who keep clinging to old ways of doing things are going to fail. And the ones who have the short-term goal of the bottom line, profit, 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 you can drive up profit by laying off people. And that looks like a temporary success. But that's, you know, you're going to get run over because then you have nobody in the shop when the business comes back.
Okay.
So that's a very good point.
You know, I was sitting here when you were talking about a few minutes ago about the phrase "let it go." How does an Omega leader let go? And what hit me was that term, "let it go." So, elementally, what element would you say characterizes, or would it be easiest for to let things go?
The winds and the waters.
Right. And so I immediately jumped to wind as well. And then the place that I went to is the new book that's coming out, right, the Jesus Career Counselor in the spring. I jumped into the section, and I don't have them all down, obviously, because I haven't read the manuscript but completely. But tell us the R words for the wind.
The wind is revive, release, and rejoice.
Revive, release, and rejoice. And so I was trying to to pull those out based on a previous show where you talked about how many times a certain R word was used in Scripture, and
mm-hmm.
I don't think it was one of those. But
it was restore.
Restore.
Well, return. I mean, that was there's a lot of R words in Scripture. Return is used 568 times.
Return.
Yeah.
And so interesting about rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
What were they again? Tell me again.
Release, rejoice, mm-hmm. and revive.
Release. So I don't know. I just found that to be interesting that, you know, as Jesus practiced the letting go, I mean, if that's the model, right?
Right.
And it's a win nature to let go.
Right.
Right? So as a fire, I might hang on too long.
Right.
Or as an earth, I might dig my heels in way deeper than they need to go. And so understanding the Omega Leader principles that we're talking about, all these radio shows that we're setting forth around your product and around your curriculum are very, very powerful, content-rich examples of how leaders can lead. But then we have to kind of unpack that, and we still get back to the elemental nature of that leader. And so while it seems to a team or to a department head, that they're releasing or they're rejoicing or they're
reviving.
Exactly. To their team, they look pretty dangerous.
Right. Yes. That is a very profound point and a good question because fire... The way fire releases, it destroys. I mean, it consumes.
Hey.
Another person.
Again.
Another person.
Oh, my gosh. First I come in on a broom, and now I destroy. Want to see a little fire around here?
We'll show you fire. Well, fire releases. It's the release of the carbon. You know, you take whatever the essence was and release it. It goes, matter goes somewhere. It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
I just love that. So, yes, a wind can seem to let things go a lot faster. Then, and an earth on the team is going to say, what a quitter, you know,
mm-hmm.
what a loser. And then there's a fine line between quitting
mm-hmm.
and letting something go. And so when you just quit something because it's too hard
mm-hmm.
or because people are making fun of you or all those things Jesus predicted, that's not necessarily letting it go. It means that you have breathed out, you know, the word revive. In order to take in a new breath, you have to breathe something all the way out. And the breath will come back naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important to understand the difference between quitting and letting it go. And I was thinking about, I had a professional friend, started out professional, then we became friends, and then I realized over time that it was just the friendship, it wasn't really satisfying to me or rewarding. And so I was talking to Catherine, I don't know why. It just doesn't feel good. And so I prayed about it, and then a couple of months later, I called her back, and I said, I figured out what it was. And she said, what? And I said, I was doing all the effort. I was making all the effort. The only way I could get this professional friendship to, it was like applying paddles to it to make it jump start. And if I wasn't doing that, there was nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
So I let it go.
Right.
And then I had peace. So sometimes we are directed to do activities that are not getting results, and then that's an opportunity to step back and say, you know, is this really, you know, a good path for me to be on, or is there a closed door that's saying go somewhere else?
Yeah, I like when you said that, you know, what are the two items where it's dangerous to let go? If you're holding to somebody or something that you want to attain, or your ego. And I was thinking, God let go from creation. I mean, that's why we have free will. He let go, right?
Beautiful, yeah.
And then Jesus at the desert, everything that was proposed to him, he let go. He let go all the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a very temptation, if it's the real temptation, is something really appealing. It grabs your attention. It either kind of want to appeal to you in such a way that is in your mind all the time,
yeah,
or things like
right.
that. And how do you let go of temptation? And it doesn't have to be, you know, it could be temptation to become the best, which is not a bad thing. However, if, where's the balance? Because
mm-hmm.
we are always striving to be better, you know, to become the best at what we do or whatever. When is it wrong to do that?
Wrong to do what?
Yeah, so to become the best, how do we, when do we know that, okay,
when
this
is it
because,
ego? When is it? I think whenever you use words like best.
Okay.
You know, I just don't think that you know, it is competitive in nature. I'm raising mm-hmm. horses. Horses love to race each other. And so there's some of that that's really, really good. But to be the best, if we do our work as unto the Lord, we want to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
To be best can often mean shoving the other person out of the lane or tripping them accidentally or doing whatever it takes to get up on the block. And that's about recognition, which can often be about ego.
And it goes back to the
right.
ego.
And so I think, too, that sometimes let it go. I remember one time I had kind of a dream, and I was in a river, and there were all these snakes floating past me. Maybe I had just seen Lonesome Dove. I don't know. But, and I, the only way to stay safe was not to grab one. So I literally just let them pass. And to me, it was like evil thoughts or temptations or, and certainly I have grabbed plenty of those, but
dark chocolate.
Yeah, just the notion of sometimes letting it go means just letting go an insult,
mm-hmm.
you know, letting go a temptation, letting something go. I'm reminded of the priest that carried a beautiful, two priests carried a beautiful woman across the river, and they walked further on, and one of them said, "How can you quit thinking about her? You know, she was so beautiful. I'm feeling so tempted right now." And the other priest said, "I put her down on the other side of the river.
Mm-hmm.
I let her go, you know."
Yeah.
So there's that aspect of it, too.
Yeah. Speaking of movies, you reminded me of The Mission. I don't know if you recall that
mm-hmm.
movie. And,
oh, yeah.
And Richard Chamberlain's character, you know, is so overcome with guilt and remorse. And for his penance, he's carrying around his armor. And he had to be the one to decide to let that go. Nobody could let that go. In spite of people's efforts around him, the monks
mm-hmm.
around him's effort
mm-hmm.
to cut the rope to help him let it go because they saw what a burden it was for him, he would go back and retrieve it because he was not willing to let it go. So I think it can be not only temptation, but it can also be guilt. And that's all, it's not necessarily always the future that
that's
we're
right.
letting go of. Sometimes
that's
right. it's the past that we're letting go of.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And sometimes it is maybe or could be the act of letting go is a surrender, which could be a spiritual, in a spiritual sense, you know, maybe not necessarily in the office room or in the workroom, or but maybe surrender is a different way of saying lay it down,
mm-hmm.
you know. Lay it down. And
well, and I've told this story at Lead Like Jesus, and some people even say it's almost my signature story.
Mm.
And it's from when I took a tour. I was actually leading a tour of the Holy Land, and the people who invited me to be the co-leader wanted me at every site to say something profound about leadership at
mm-hmm.
each site we went to. And I was just not really worth the money that they invested in me, because the minute I saw the shoreline where Jesus actually told Peter to drop his nets and follow him, I couldn't
mm-hmm.
speak. I was
sure.
speechless I was either speechless or in tears at every one of these holy sites. And I began to think about, you know, we went to the mosque where it said that Abraham offered up Isaac, and they believe Muhammad entered into seventh heaven. It's a holy site. And so much of Israel is there's holy sites everywhere you go. And so people have come from thousands of places for thousands of years to just touch the rock where Jesus, you know, released the sandwich to the 5,000 and all these different places. And I thought, what is it that these sites have in common? And I thought about tours that I had been on in the United States. Here's the tallest building, here's where the rich people live, here's the celebrities, this is where so-and-so goes. The Alamo, I'm from Texas, you know, we will never surrender. So most of America is about tours about celebrities, success, or battles. And yet in the Holy Land, the one thing that all those sites had in common was this. This is where one person said, I give you whatever you want. You want my body, I give you my body. You want my sandwich, I give you my sandwich. Mm-hmm. You want my son, I give you my son. You want my career, I give you my career. Every holy site involved the key word to advancement in the kingdom, which is surrender.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's counterintuitive. I'm thinking about just doing a whole article on Jesus, counterintuitive.
Yes.
When they slap you, slap them back. No, he didn't say that. When they slap you, turn your cheek. They want your coat, give them your cloak also. So it's all about, to me, it's the power he was teaching that we are not attached to anything because we own everything. We are in him everything. There's nothing to be concerned with losing because we have it all.
And nothing is going to go
away.
Uh-huh.
I love that line where he said, tear down this temple and I'll build it up in 3 days. I mean, that's transcendence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's easy to let things go if you're not attached to the form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of the great lessons, the spiritual lessons that we all need to learn. And the Omega leader really needs to, like Vicki, your wonderful point, let go of maybe the form of the strategy or the form of the product or the
mm-hmm.
form of the service. And for fires, it's very hard because it's about status and ego and winning so often. And
the problem is?
And the you are the best.
Probably either communicating the reasons for which you're letting go, so your team is on board of the idea and it's not thinking that you are a quitter, right? So how do you communicate this is the best thing? And sometimes, you know, you said...
Well, you go to the mission. You are constantly experimenting with ways to deliver the mission. And if it doesn't work, you go on to the next thing. And, you know, if you look at Google, I've been reading the book Google, The End of the World as We Know It, which I recommend, and their mission is to make all of the knowledge free and accessible to all of the world. Everyone can say it. That's all they want to do. So anything that works, works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work because they're trying. They're trying to do something. They
right.
don't change their mission based on circumstances.
Right. They change their method.
Exactly. And of course, just having knowledge reminds me of the starfish, which has no centralized brain. So you can have all sorts of information, but if you do not have wisdom or centralized force determining what to do with that information, that's another story altogether.
So, Lord, we just have a couple of minutes, and I don't know if you have time to address this or not, but there's going to be women that are listening to this radio show in the next weeks and months to come about letting go. How do you let go? And maybe this is a topic for another call because obviously we're out of time. Is there's women that are hitting the glass ceiling inside the church, inside of boardrooms, inside of corporations that are not letting it go.
Right.
To find their best and highest calling or their highest good.
Right.
In their leadership role. And we got 90 seconds here to talk about that. So maybe you can hit on it, and then we can pick up another show around it.
I think it definitely deserves another show. But letting go could mean letting go of the form that you thought you came, that people are telling you the way you need to serve. And I think Jesus said some pretty harsh words about that if you do not, if you're not willing to even let go of the form of some family enough to serve him, that you're not worthy of him. And that's a hard decision sometimes to make. But sometimes hanging on to the nut in the jar, this is not the way to accomplish your mission.
It's
so,
monkey business.
It's monkey business. So we've had a very engaging show, and we're going to have to let it go tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for listening, and tune in next week, and we will have another topic around leadership. Blessings to you all. Thank you all tonight for showing up.
Thank you.